The following is one of our favorite car talk shows of all time.
Did you make that up?
Yeah.
What is this really?
A random tape I picked out of the box so we could go on vacation.
Okay. Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Criminal Stupidity here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, this should cheer everyone up. This is a true story, evidently.
And it was in Automotive News.
It was reported by Automotive News, that's right.
So it's an automotive story.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
A guy walks into Patrick Auto Sales. This is a used car dealership near Detroit. The guy, whose name is Bobby James Webb Stokes III,
you got to worry right away,
allegedly pulls out an Uzi-style firearm and demands a car. The salesman, fearing for his life, hands over the keys to an 87 Chrysler LeBaron. You're LeBaron or your life. There's an easy choice.
No-brainer.
Anyway, this guy, Webb Stokes, takes off in the car, and later on, he calls the dealership to complain that the LeBaron is overheating. The salesman says, oh, really? Why don't you bring it in? He does, and he's arrested on the spot. Pretty good, huh? It had to be true. You couldn't make up a story like that.
You can't make up this stuff. There's a TV show, The World's Stupidest Criminals or something, and it's full of the guys like this.
Well, I remember hearing a few years ago there were a couple of guys that decided they were going to steal an ATM, and they hook up their bumper of their pickup truck with a chain to this ATM machine, and they try to yank the thing out of its mooring, and they try, and what happens is it rips the bumper off the truck.
Of course.
Realizing that they're not going to get the thing out, they take off, leaving the bumper
and the
with the license plate behind. Anyway, if you'd like to call us with something stupid, you know, or get a stupid answer from us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
Oh, thank heavens.
Hello. You're on Car Talk.
How you doing?
Good. Who's this?
Charlie Zapp from Lynn, Massachusetts. Talk to you from the GE plant.
Charlie.
Yeah.
Charlie Zapp.
Yeah.
Lynn, Massachusetts.
From the GE. This is where you guys make the electric boats, right?
Well, we make the big fighter engines for the F-14.
Yeah, you make jet engines up there.
Same thing.
Yeah, they're a little easier to, troubleshoot than cars sometimes.
Yeah, maybe. So anyway, what's your last name, you said?
Well, my nickname is Zapp, Z-A-P.
Oh,
it must be Zapparelli.
Well, it's Polish. How's that? Zapolsky.
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 Yeah.
Oh.
Good old
See,
nice.
Your grandparents must have been Zapolsterers.
There you go.
So what's going on, Charlie?
Oh, I don't know. My youngest boy, he's got a 93 Ford Taurus. He had it since it's 12,000 miles. It's got around 40 to 50. Car runs really well, but the only thing it does when you first start up and it's cold, the idle surges up and down to the point where it almost stalls, and then she comes right back up again and goes down again, almost like a slow heartbeat.
Uh-huh. So it's...
Yeah, like it only lasts for about 5 minutes. When it warms up, it's gone.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And the check engine light has never come on during this time?
No.
You haven't had anyone look at this either?
I had it to a garage, and the guy couldn't figure it out, so that's when I decided I'm not going to nickel and dime this thing anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to call two guys and talk to them for nothing.
I've been trying about a month to get to you guys.
Well, anyway... there are a lot of things it could be. I mean, there are two things that come to mind.
Yeah, what are the two things that come to your little mind?
No,
I'm talking to my brother.
Okay, right.
It could be a faulty coolant temp sensor.
I like it.
And it might not be bad enough to turn on the check engine light. It may just be out of whack when the engine's cold, and that would make the thing surge because it would confuse the computer. And they're about $20. The other thing it could be is something called the idle air control. If you open the hood and look in the vicinity where the throttle cable attaches to the manifold.
Yeah.
You will find a little device that's held on by two screws and it has a plug on it. And that's the idle air control. And you can unbolt that thing and clean it with a solvent like gum out, you know, carburetor cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that thing is sticking and it's causing the surge. So I would do that first because that doesn't cost much of anything.
You know, funny that you mention that because I took it to this guy. And when I first took it to him, he said there's a thing called a dead stop idle. And he adjusted that, and it worked for a little while. But he says next time if it does it, he's going to have to clean out what you're saying there.
The idle air control.
And clean it out.
One thing that you can do is while it's surging like this, take off your shoe and give this thing a little whack with the heel of your shoe. Boom! And if it does anything different, that probably means that was it.
This is why we don't let my brother in the shop anymore, Charlie.
This is a scientific approach. Yeah.
It's not unscientific because the shoe is just exactly the right implement with which to whack this thing.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't want to hit it with a hammer.
It's aluminum. You might break it.
You might break it if you hit it with anything heavier than a shoe. The shoe is relatively soft.
Yeah, yeah.
So the heel of the shoe is just the right consistency. And wait.
I'm with you. You going to work on Monday?
I'll be there.
But try the cleaner first.
Yeah.
Or try the shoe, then the cleaner. And if that doesn't work, try a coolant temp sensor. And if that doesn't work, then you call us back.
Hey, Charlie, lots of luck. And if you have any trouble with those jet engines, don't take off your shoe.
I'll take off my safety shoes. Very good, gentlemen.
See you, Charlie.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for your call.
Bye. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Adrian calling from Beautiful Sisters, Oregon.
Hi, Adrian.
Beautiful Sisters?
Beautiful Sisters.
Is the name of the town Sisters or Beautiful Sisters?
Sisters.
Oh, Sisters.
Oh, I thought it was Beautiful Sisters.
Yeah, they missed the
beautiful
opportunity.
Sisters, Oregon.
It's Sisters, Oregon.
Cool.
No kidding.
Anyway, what's up, Adrian?
Well, my loved one, the love of my life, my husband, has a birthday coming up.
Uh-huh.
And I have, or thanks to my mother-in-law, I drive a 91 Moose Proof Saab 900S. And my husband and I, a couple months ago, passed a rock yard. And my husband is really into rocks. A rock yard. And so I want to surprise my husband for his birthday in a few weeks with some rocks. And these weren't just any old rocks. These, I think, were granite rocks.
But we do get the wackos, huh?
Don't get any calls, you got to take whatever
calls
you get.
At first blush, you sounded so normal, Adrian.
She did. But I mean, I was going to ask what's a rock yard, but I said, no, it'll surface. It'll surface somehow in the conversation.
They sell all sorts of rocks. Granite rocks, basalt.
Yeah, your basic igneous and sedimentary. I mean.
Yeah. And so I want to drive back. I want to go over to Portland. It's about a 3-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up as many rocks as I can safely carry in the Saab. And I don't have a clue how much weight I can carry in the back of my Saab, given that I have a mountain pass to climb coming over.
Oh, boy.
So I need your help.
I mean, you would buy, like, a lot of heavy rocks? I mean, is your husband into
rocks? Definition.
They're big rocks.
Are heavy.
And they are. I mean, again, I'm not a big rock person, but they have a great shape to them. And he's into rocks, and we have rocks around our two little waiting-sized ponds outside. And, you know, he just loves moving and redecorating with his rocks.
Let me get the picture here. These rocks that you would be buying, are they, like, 7 or 8 inches wide and...
At least.
Bigger than a basketball?
Yes.
Watermelon?
Or watermelon and a half. A
watermelon and a cantaloupe. You're looking at 100 pounds of rock.
Or more.
By the each.
Correct.
And then you might buy what? How much are these rocks? What are
they
going for?
They're 29 cents a pound.
29 cents a pound?
Oh. Right.
What a wonderful idea.
Uh-huh.
I often wondered, you know, what if they sold other things by the pound, like light bulbs?
Yeah, parakeets.
You don't buy the pound parakeets.
Parakeets are going to be $2,500 a pound.
They cost more than anything. Parakeets and light bulbs are way, way up there.
Oh, yeah.
But rocks.
Rocks.
It's cheap.
Yeah.
Well, here's the issue. I mean, you may be able to put 7 or 8 of these rocks in your trunk, but I will tell you a little story. Years ago, I went to a local discount store that sold all kinds of things, among them drill presses. So I think, gee, it would be awfully nice to have a big drill press. Everyone needs a drill press. You never know
In
what
your
for.
Basement.
In my basement.
Or your living room if your wife will stand for
so,
it.
So I buy this thing. It's made in Taiwan, and it's all cast iron with a big motor. And I don't know what it weighs, but these two gorillas bring it out to the loading dock. And they very carefully place it in the trunk of my car. And as I'm closing the trunk, the two of them are walking away laughing. And one of them says, good luck getting it out. And that's the obvious. I mean, if you do get the rocks in, you're never going to get them out. You're going to kill yourself. I mean, don't they deliver?
No. Well, it's a 3-hour drive from here, so no.
Well, I mean, I would say, I mean, technically speaking, if in fact it were 600 or 700 pounds of rocks, you could do it.
Really?
Sure.
Well, sure. I mean, think about two mothers-in-law in the back seat.
Oh. It's 280 a piece. That's almost 600 pounds. So, and with their pocketbooks, 750.
Yeah. So, I mean, if the car were full of people, I mean, you can't go with anybody, of course. You got to do this on your own.
Right. Me and my dog, my trusty travel
Your dog,
companion.
Yeah. And I wouldn't put them all in the trunk. I would, like, scatter them around the car.
Okay.
A couple on the hood.
On the floor of the back seat.
Yeah, the floor of the front seat.
Okay.
So you don't have all the weight on those rear springs.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, you could rent or borrow, preferably, a car from somebody.
That would be...
But you really need...
You can't borrow a car from somebody and then go fill it up with rocks.
No?
No.
Why don't you rent a little U-Haul van?
I could do that.
Rent the smallest truck you can get, and that'll do it.
Okay.
And you can fill the thing up with rocks because, what, it's not your truck.
No, you can't, though, because don't forget, they're 29 cents a pound.
Yeah, but...
You buy 1,000 pounds of rocks, man, you're up to $300. $300.
That's
it's only your husband.
But they're rocks. Well, I think you have rocks in your head, actually, but...
Adrian, you've made my day.
You guys are so good. You're
good luck.
But see if you can rent a van.
Okay.
And it'll save your sob.
Okay.
See you, Adrian.
Great. Thank you.
Bye.
I don't think it matters. I mean, you throw a couple of heavyweights in the back seat. What's the difference?
Yeah, but I have a feeling
she's
going to end
go
off buying 1,500 or 1,800 pounds of rocks.
Yeah, then it would be a problem.
Yeah, then she'll blow a head gasket on the Saab. It'll be a disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you don't want to be constrained. You don't want to go there saying, I can only buy 700 pounds worth of rocks.
You may find the rock of all rocks, the rock of ages.
Yeah, and you wouldn't want to say, I can't buy it for my dear husband because my car won't handle it.
Right, and someone else will buy the rock. They probably don't even put rocks aside for you. You're going to cash and carry, so to speak.
Of course.
I don't know. Seems nuts
they
to
don't
me.
Have a, we don't have a layaway plan.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Justin Slattery. I live in Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi, Justin.
And, well, I've got a little problem with my car. I've got an 88 Honda Civic, and it's got about over 156,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
And it's running good. My dad's a mechanic. He works on it every now and then. But the problem doesn't really lie in the engine. It's the car speakers. Every time it rains down here, water floods in through the speakers, and I don't know what to do about it.
Floods in through the speakers?
Yeah, like when I'm driving, it just starts pouring in through the speakers, and if I'm listening to music, it shoots out of me. I've even been listening to your show before, and it just, like, totally cuts out, and water starts pouring in. My feet get wet. It's embarrassing.
Do you listen mostly to Handel's water music?
I don't know.
Where are the speakers mounted?
It's in the door.
Yeah, the doors are filling up with water,
yeah.
And the water can't get out.
That's easy.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out where the water's come in from. I've even asked my dad about it. He doesn't even know what to do.
Your dad is a mechanic and he doesn't know what to do?
Well, he works on the engine and stuff. He's not, I mean, he's not a mechanic as a job. I mean, he's not a professional.
No, he's just a funsies.
A hobby, you know what I mean?
A funsies guy, yeah.
Yeah.
The doors can frequently get water in them because where the window comes up is not absolutely tight.
Oh, not by any means.
So, I mean, in most cars, they make an attempt to make that tight, but that little piece of felt that's along the edge there, so the window rides between these two little pieces of stuff.
And there's a little weather strip that goes where it touches the glass, so it actually acts like a squeegee when you roll the window up and down.
But it ain't foolproof
shot. And it's not designed to be. It's not, the door is designed to get water in it, but there are holes which allow the water to come out.
Right.
Yours are plugged. You need to drill some holes.
Yeah, they figured we can't keep the water out, so it would be good if we arranged to have the water go out when it comes in.
So those little holes are designed to allow the water to exit, and the backup system is the speaker.
So where should I drill a hole at?
Oh, right in the side of the door. It's 10 years old. What do you care?
Yeah, I would drill the holes closer to the bottom and not up near the top because, you know.
I mean, the holes might be there. I mean, the holes are there. They're just plugged up. If you open the door and lie down on your back,
okay,
you'll see what used to be the holes because they'll be sort of all, they'll be round.
Okay.
And, well, they may not even be round, but you might be able to poke around. I don't know what they look like, what the door drain holes look like in an 88 Civic. I can't recall ever contemplating them.
No.
But if the if you can't find anything, you can drill a couple of holes with an electric drill.
Yeah.
Okay.
It won't hurt anything. There's nothing down there to hurt.
Okay.
Drill some big holes. Don't worry about it. It'll be fun.
Okay.
See you, Justin.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Hey, good luck, man. Okay. Thanks for calling.
Hey, no problem. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we have to pause right now and take a break.
Pause for station identification? Is this where we go powder our noses, for example?
Powder? Powder? The only thing that's going to help your nose is maybe gunpowder. We'll be back in a minute.
Hey, bartender, I'm back. Treat me right. More trouble with my woman. Now we'll fight. There's no other lover, no broken heart, but she still has problems when she drives a car. Another rear ender, another new fender tonight. She's driving me to drinking, and my checkbook just keeps shrinking. She's a queen of demolition, won't pay attention. Ought to get a permanent license suspension. She's the owner of the body shop's best friend. Never met a vehicle she can't bend. She's driving me to drinking again.
Support for Car Talk at NPR comes from our new line of Car Talk in action figures. Collect them all. Mechanic asleep under customer's car. Mechanic asleep in backseat of customer's car. Mechanic asleep in trunk of customer's car. Whoops, that was not just asleep. From NPR, NPR member stations, and
Angie's List, providing thousands of reports on local service companies. Details at 888-944-LIST and angieslist.com. And
Allstate, now offering accident forgiveness with a warning for people who eat greasy double cheeseburgers while driving.
Hey, I don't do that. I get the triple.
More information at allstate.com. Are you in good hands? And
Hotels.com, with virtual tours, customer reviews, and over 70,000 properties to choose from. Online or at 800-3-HOTELS.
And even though aging hippies remove their vegan, cruelty-free sandals and pound their radios with them whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the fine art of killing time at work.
Oh, how now, sweet it is.
In addition to distracting you from your insignificant car problems on the weekend, we also have taken on the awesome responsibility of helping you kill time during the week from the sanctity of your very own cubicle.
Oh, really now? How do we do that?
Should you find yourself with an extra, I don't know, like 3 or 4 hours a day to kill at work this week?
It happens.
Just surf on over to our website, cartalk.com, and there you will find a classic Car Talk puzzler from the Puzzler Archives for your perusal. So
I see, I would have said, and there you will find for your perusal a classic Car Talk puzzler, because that's a misplaced.
Well, especially if you don't know the name, if you don't
phrase.
Know the definition of the word perusal, you might have thought that the puzzle will help your condition. Maybe perusal is
it's
a condition.
It's for your perusal.
It's for your perusal.
Oh.
Shrink perusals without surgery. Anyway, every week this summer, while our puzzler is on vacation, we will post another archival puzzler to soothe your aching perusal. And it'll challenge you during those particularly dull hours at work. Those hours like between 9 and 12 and 1 and 5.
Yeah, that other hour, that's always okay. 12 to 1.
No problem. Now, if you'd like to call us, we'll take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Hi. Oh, this is Freddie Boom Boom Washington?
This is Steve Brown. I'm calling from Freeport, Maine.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
Good. So what's up?
Well, I have a question for you. On a recent trip, we took a long trip out to Oberlin, Ohio to help gather my daughter's things from college.
Uh-huh.
And somehow in the excitement, I now this is a 1995 Camry wagon.
You'll have to pardon my brother. He has a case of the winds today. It's okay.
No, I was opening a can of soda.
Oh, that's what that was?
And if you hadn't shaken it as much as you did, it wouldn't have gone psst like
I didn't
that.
Shake it.
You always shake it before you give it to me.
Inadvertently dropped it, and it fell down the entire flight of stairs. I'm sorry, Steve.
Sorry, Steve.
No problem.
Okay, so you're bumming around.
So we packed the car up. Yeah. And somehow I think I lost consciousness for a few minutes. We jumped in the car, put it in the gear, started heading down Main Street of Oberlin, Ohio. And somehow I lost contact with reality for a second, and I shoved it into gear. Well, unfortunately, I shoved it forward all the way, thinking it was standard.
And you threw it into park.
It's an automatic.
Yeah.
And it made many times myself.
It
made a terrible grinding sound, and I'm wondering if I've done any sort of permanent damage.
If you park on a hill, will it roll away on you?
No, I don't think so.
Well, then you're all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it happens. I mean, if you drive stick shifts and you drive automatics, there are times when you don't know where you are.
Exactly.
I mean, I have that problem most of the time, that I don't know where I am.
Might it not help, or is it possible to design a car in such a way that that would not be possible?
Oh, there are cars which you cannot put into park without pressing the little button. On the side of the shifter?
Well, I probably did that.
You probably did that.
Yeah, yeah.
Inadvertently.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
I tell you what I've been doing lately. I've been driving an Aurora, an Oldsmobile Aurora, which, by the way, I like.
Yeah.
And it has the shifter on the floor.
Huh.
Well, the car I had been driving prior to that had the shifter on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
So every time I stop and attempt to put it into park, I turn on the windshield wipers, which is the other little stalk there that's sticking out on the right-hand side where the shifter ought to be.
Is this what I have to look forward to when I'm your age?
Yeah. I mean, because it's so hard to pay attention, you know?
Well, listen,
yes,
thank you.
Yes, it is.
Good advice. I'll go put it on a hill and see if it rolls.
Yeah, see if it rolls.
Thanks a lot.
Stay in the car while you're doing this test.
Absolutely.
See you.
You guys are great.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Christy.
Christy. Wait. Don't tell us.
No, she's going to tell us where she's from. We're going to tell her how to spell it.
I'm from Chicago.
From Chicago. Oh, so it's just C-H-R-I-S-T-I-E.
T-Y.
T-Y.
Yeah, right, that's what he meant, T-Y.
That's
yeah.
what I meant.
Yeah.
See, if you had been like from
some other place,
like from L.A., K-R-Y-S-T-E-I-E. No, E.
E-E.
Not the way a cheerleader spells it.
Right, that's a cheerleader spelling.
Yeah.
You got it.
So what's going on, Christy?
I want to ask you guys about a car problem that happened about 15 years ago to my dad's old Citation that I was driving. I've been feeling bad about it for a while, and I just kind of like to find out exactly what happened.
You want closure. They call this closure.
Yes, it is closure.
Yeah. This is something that's been plaguing you for 15 years. Causing you nightmares.
Is it something he's been blaming you for 15 years?
Well, no, he doesn't really know. I mean,
But there is still reference to it after all these years?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the car died, and I think he was kind of surprised.
Lay it on us.
Okay. I was driving. I was about 16 years old, and I was driving from South Bend, Indiana.
Oh, it was your fault.
Well, shut up. Okay. I'm driving. It's about a 1982 Chevy Citation.
And
ugly,
what year would this have been? This would have been like 1982.
This was in 83. I think the car was maybe a year old.
Yeah. So you're driving from South Bend to where?
I'm trying to get down to the Indiana University down in Bloomington, Indiana. It's about a 4.5-hour drive.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, I drive for about like half an hour, and the temperature light starts kind of coming on. I mean, it's kind of coming on, it's going off, it's coming on. It's not doing it in any kind of consistent way. You know, it'll blink on for a while. And so anyway, I was just like, okay, this is an electrical problem, so forget
So it's
this.
Like, this is a glitch.
Yeah, right. Because we've had some glitchy cars before. We've had some real lemons, so I'm like, this is just another weirdo car thing.
Yeah.
So I go into the glove compartment, get out a piece of tape, put it over the light, because I just don't want to be dealing with this.
Were you listening to our show at that time?
No, I didn't know you guys were. I don't. Were you guys on the air that
Well, yeah, we used to sell the special tape, in fact.
Yeah, we still have it. Yeah, so you put the tape over the light.
I put the tape over the light.
Keep driving.
Well, I start losing acceleration. But that doesn't really stop me. I keep going until the car actually just stops. I mean, I can't actually go any further.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of like in southern Indiana, and I get towed down to this little mechanic shop.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
They put a new thermostat in the car, but they told me to go back to South Bend. They're like, this is, you know, they said this is like a Band-Aid, but, you know, go back to South Bend. And, of course, I didn't. I drove another 3 hours, went down to Indiana, you know, Bloomington, drove back the next day, 4.5 hours.
You drove down to Bloomington because your boyfriend was there, right?
I had a party to go to down there. I was young. So
you turn around, you drive 4 hours back.
Yeah. And you know, the car was fine.
The light is not on.
Oh, no, no.
Tape's off and the light's off.
Light's not blinking anymore. Problem solved.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so I get back to South Bend. And, you know, I thought everything was fine. Those mechanics just fixed it, you know, thermostat problem, whatever. And my dad then got in the car to go to work. He works about 10 minutes from our house, and the car just blows up. It just, like, it just stopped.
Oh.
The engine block was almost melted together. It was a major, major problem. And my dad was just utterly confused. And, of course, he came home and asked me if anything happened, and I said, I don't know, gosh, you know.
Yeah. Car ran like a dream all the way down and all the way back.
So what I'm trying to figure out is why did putting a thermostat in and did I really ruin his car, I guess? Or was this just a random thing that two
random my foot. You wish it. You overheated the engine.
Because
okay.
Because the thermostat was malfunctioning, and when the light started to come on, it was telling you the engine was running hot.
But
you ignored
it. Why didn't it just stay on?
Huh?
Why didn't the light just stay on? Why was it going on and off?
Well, it was probably staying on after you put the black tape over it, but you couldn't see it.
Yeah.
So the light was staying on enough to let you know that the thing was overheating, and the engine got hotter and hotter, and you began to melt the pistons and melt the rings and deform the crankshaft and stretch out the connecting rods. And then when they put the thermostat in, the new thermostat, you must have just averted a meltdown by seconds.
Oh, you think? Oh, okay.
I think so.
How you made it back for how you did another 6 hours of driving is somewhat miraculous, actually.
Oh.
And you are right in thinking that you had nothing to do with it, but you're wrong.
And it can only be attributed to the fine engineering of this Chevrolet engine.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? I always thought that was a crappy car, but maybe not. Huh?
And well, it was after you got a hold of it.
You know, when people say that the engine melted, typically what happens is you throw a rod. It's very common. And you did that. You are absolutely responsible for this engine.
Yeah, when the thing gets really hot, what happens is the bearing material will melt, the connecting rod bearings and the main bearings. And then you'll have low oil pressure, and the bearing will start, because the bearing is melted, the connecting rod will start slapping against the crankshaft, and next thing you know, the thing breaks because the bolts can't hold it, and the engine is toast.
Oh, okay.
Everyone knows that when that temperature light comes on, you stop.
No, not everyone.
Because
not everyone knows that.
Because driving with the temperature light on is the kiss of death.
Is Dad still alive, or did this kill him?
No, he's still alive.
Well, how do you feel now? I mean, now that we've told you that absolutely,
well
almost without a doubt, you were responsible for the demise, the very early demise of this wonderful car that Dad had.
I feel bad because he really never knew what happened, and he just thought it was just another bad car.
What if we told him? Would that be bad? Would it be cathartic for you?
Now, Christy, I think you need to resolve this. I mean, just knowing, your knowing is not enough.
You don't think so?
We need Dad's number.
But you know.
We need his number.
Is he home?
Okay.
Go ahead.
He's at work.
We'll take the number off the air, but we're calling Dad at work.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And what's his name?
It's Richard.
Richard.
Right. How old is Richard?
Richard.
He's 60. He just had a birthday. He's 61.
61. He probably would be retired now if he weren't still making car payments. They offered him that early retirement, but he said, I got to pay off this Buick that I'm driving.
We're going to try to get him. Can you stay on the line,
sure.
Christy? I mean, you don't mind confronting him about this.
He's got a real bad phone manner. I'm just warning you.
Oh, don't worry.
So do we.
Okay.
Okay, we're dialing him now.
Okay.
Christy, do you know if Daddy-O knows us?
Yeah, he does. Mm-hmm.
He does?
Yeah, our whole family likes the show.
Cool.
In that case, he's likely to hang up on us or not.
Dick Conklin.
Hey, Richard.
Yes.
This is Tom and Ray Magliozzi from Car Talk.
Oh, I'm blessed.
Well, not necessarily.
Not necessarily?
No.
We were just talking to your daughter, Christy.
You're right.
Yeah. Well, you know, she called to cleanse her soul.
Okay.
She called to describe to us a little incident that occurred in 1982 with your Chevy Citation.
You may not remember this. You may have tried to block this out.
Yeah, seared, I think, is a proper verb.
Yeah. She said it like through a rod.
You threw a rod.
Threw a rod.
And you have no idea why this happened. Have you had your suspicions all these years?
Lack of oil.
Yeah.
Yeah, but do you know anything else about it?
No.
You don't know all the dirty details.
There are some things that pater familias doesn't want to know.
Yeah, okay, we're going to tell you all the details. She was driving the thing to Bloomington. You knew that.
Yes, I knew that.
And along the way, the temperature light began flashing. You didn't know that.
No,
you didn't
She's
know
never
that.
Told you this.
And it was annoying.
She kept driving without any water in the radiator?
Well, worse than that. She put black tape over the light because the light was
At least you can laugh about it, Richard.
And she finally coasted into a gas station with the engine glowing. And the two guys that were there told her that she'd probably had fried it, but they would put a new thermostat in and send her back home.
Oh, wonderful.
She didn't go home.
She didn't go home.
She didn't take their advice because the light went out. She went to the party down in Bloomington, then drove all the way back to South Bend the next day.
Ooh.
And gave you the car, making you think that everything was just hunky-dory. And she's been living a life of sin,
deception.
Crime, and deception.
Well,
now, I think you would ask, if she recounted the story to us correctly, you would ask her if anything unusual had happened on her trip, and she denied it.
Yeah.
She said, no, fine, nope, no problems.
Well, she can't live with this lie anymore.
She's with us right now, Dick.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Christy?
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Dad.
Sure.
Hi, Chrissy. Chrissy, you didn't tell him about the broken axle on the 1966 Buick.
I didn't break that axle. Why?
Come on, Christy, come clean.
About the new radiator
on the 1984 Nova.
Now, Dad, you bought me that broken axle car for $500 and sent me, on my merry way. That's why the axle broke. That thing was a lemon.
Sure.
Tom and Ray, you've got to realize that my daughter is the car is what Alban Berg is to Melody, the expressionist conductor.
Yes.
Well, whatever.
Look, boy.
The country ought to be thankful that she's now in a city with decent public transportation and doesn't need to own a car.
So you don't hold it against her that she withheld this crucial information all these years.
Well, not in this public forum, you want.
I love my daughter. That's
you love
my
your
only
daughter.
Comment.
Isn't it something?
Thanks, Dad.
Is Christy your only child?
She's my only daughter.
She's my only daughter.
Only limits tester.
Well, Christy, I mean, do you want to make like a formal public apology to Daddy-O, both for wrecking his car and for living this life of deception for 15 years?
But I've suffered for this.
Well, so
well,
has Dad.
You have suffered.
You didn't suffer any more than my pocketbook at the time.
Did it cost a lot? I can't remember.
Fred and Jim's garage bought a boat.
For each of them.
Right.
It was terminal. It had to be reconstructed from scratch.
Oh, yeah, no, it's terminal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think this warrants a full-scale apology.
Oh, come on, you guys.
Come on, Christy. And some groveling and maybe a few tears. Like, Dad, I'm sorry.
It's 15 years ago.
There is no statute of limitations on deception to your father.
Oh, my God.
And there's no statute of limitations on forgiveness either, Chris.
Oh, God bless you, Richard.
Isn't he nice? Okay, I'm sorry, Dad.
Boy, that sounded real heartfelt. Sorry, Dad.
Sorry. Hey, that's as much as you're going to get out of it.
It sounds that way. Well, she's your daughter, not ours. Good luck.
Thank God.
Okay, Dad,
hey, Richard, you're a wonderful guy.
Thanks much.
Have a nice day.
Okay, you too.
See you.
See you later.
See you, Christy.
Bye, Christy.
Okay, bye-bye, guys.
Try to be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Christy.
See ya.
Yeah, we'll leave you two to chat. Bye-bye. Oh, don't I love solving these little familial conflicts? All right, look. it's time to take another short break.
Well, why don't we ever take any long breaks?
Well, we will eventually. It's called getting canceled. But for now, we'll be back in just a minute.
Well, I like old cars. I like the visual style. A Detroit look really drives me wild. All that chrome just makes me smile. Yeah, I like old cars, 'cause they got such style.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from our new disc brake cleaner / underarm defoliant from NPR, NPR member stations, and
K&N, maker of washable lifetime air filters, an ecological alternative to disposable air filters. More information at knfilters.com. And
Allstate, now offering accident forgiveness, and a reminder that your odds of having an accident go up when you are tired.
So if listening to my brother is putting you to sleep, pull over.
Hey, more information at allstate.com. Are you in good hands? And
LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com.
And even though the good humor man heaves a box of frozen strawberry shortcakes at his radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with
Don't
us.
Don't do that. You woke me up out of a deep sleep.
We're Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the used Puzzler.
Oh, used. Now, new and used.
As both of our listeners know, every summer the Puzzler goes on vacation, and this is his chance to get refreshed, renewed, reinvigorated, reinvented, what?
And less lousy.
Less lousy. But we know that some of you just can't go a whole week without a Car Talk Puzzler. So for you, we have what?
Psychopharmaceutical drug therapy.
No, for you, we have our classic Puzzler archive. Every week that the Puzzler's on vacation, we'll post a classic Car Talk Puzzler on our website. So if you're bored at work, bored on vacation, just head to cartalk.com, and every week you'll find a brand new used
Brand new used
Puzzler. There. How's that?
Yippee!
Now, if you want to call us.
Yeah. What's the number?
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
I am Sharon, and I live in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Hi, Sharon.
And I have a 1991 Taurus with 75,000 miles on it. And while I was working, I would pay mechanics any amount of money to give me peace of mind and make my car work.
Yeah.
But now I'm retired.
Uh-oh.
And I have just been given 2 quotes for a noise, a very lurid noise.
Ooh, lurid, eh?
Lurid noise.
Every time I turn the steering wheel, the car makes a sound that kind of goes, Don't you think that's lurid?
Go, could you do that again?
If you don't get emotionally involved.
No, I won't. I promise I won't. But I'm going to record it this time.
When I turn the steering wheel.
Either way, left or right.
Left or right.
You're sitting stopped.
I'm stopped or going.
Or moving. Yeah.
Okay.
It makes this noise, and it kind of goes,
Yeah, sort of like.
You're interested in selling this car?
Well. So I live in a retirement community, and we have a wonderful little old gentleman who fixes cars.
Oh, that's good.
And he came over and told me it was going to take between $285 and $325 to fix this problem.
Because he wants to replace the power steering pump.
No. Because he just replaced, the sway bar links.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I have another theory.
Yes.
I think I know what he wants to replace.
What?
He wants to replace the bearings at the top of each of the front struts.
I think it may be, but when I took it to get a second opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
From the guy up the street.
Yeah.
He said, oh, all the Tauruses do that. Don't pay any attention to it. Now,
so his quote is zero.
Yes, and so somewhere between $285 and zero is the truth, I fear.
Well, I wrote down, when you described your little problem, I wrote on my little sheet of paper that I
$142.50.
I wrote $225.
225.
That's what I wrote.
I wrote 142.50.
You did. Somewhere between there, then.
I see.
That makes it 186.75.
Okay.
And that's it.
Well, we've discovered on a few Tori that we've had in the shop that if you put the car on the lift and let the suspension hang, that somehow or another it disturbs that bearing that's on top of the strut. And we've had to, on a few occasions, either take that thing apart and clean it up and grease it, or actually replace it for this noise to go away.
This is relatively easy to check because it'll make the noise anytime you want it to. And so someone can raise up the hood and listen to see if the noise is coming from the power steering pump or from these little bearings.
Oh, I see.
I don't think I would fix this because I think you have the rare opportunity in the retirement complex to parlay this into some serious cash.
Well, my husband was trying to figure out some way to make, you know, to make some extra cash.
Then. Well, you can take some of those old geezers around for a ride. I think that'll do it. I don't think it's dangerous.
Yeah.
In fact, if it's what I think it is, I'm pretty sure it's not dangerous. But you should have the whole front end checked out. And I would suggest you take it to a Ford dealer.
Ooh.
And let them give you a third opinion.
Okay.
See you, Sharon.
But in neither case is it dangerous.
Well, both people told me it wasn't dangerous.
Good.
So I've continued to ride around with it. But yeah. I really can't take the ladies out with me because they get alarmed.
They get all excited. Yeah. Well, maybe that's good, you know.
I
think that's
it.
Good. You might be the new healer at the retirement community.
That's Viagra, huh?
Yeah. Good luck, Sharon. See Thanks you. For calling.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Parker from Northampton.
Hi, Parker.
Parker.
Hi.
Where are you from?
I'm from Northampton, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Oh, I know where that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what's up?
So I got this 1967 Chevy Nova station wagon.
Oh.
And I got it from this guy for $223. And so it basically...
$223? What was it?
It was $225, but I talked him down.
Oh, you chiseled him down?
Well,
that's the equivalent, actually, of getting them to knock off a few $100s
or
a few thousand.
On a real car.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, you did great.
Yeah. Well, so it's given me lots of problems, but I've managed to figure out most of them. But one time when I actually had to bring it to someone who knew more about it than I did, this mechanic told me that there was something like a broken rocker arm or something like that in the engine.
Yeah.
And he said that there was no way for it to be repaired or like disengaged so the engine could run on the rest of the cylinders or whatever. And he said that it's going to end up destroying itself like in a violent, ugly death. It's going to put a hole through the side of the engine and going to like destroy itself. And I just wonder if when my car dies, is it going to take me with it? Is this going to be like a dangerous accident?
This is a six-cylinder engine, right?
Yeah.
He said broken rocker arm?
I'm pretty sure. I'm not positive. But there's like a loud ticking sometimes. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I suspect you have a collapsed lifter.
Yeah. But, I mean, a broken rocker arm is not going to throw itself through the side of the engine, nor is a collapsed lifter.
How about a broken connecting rod? Does that sound better?
That might have been it.
Ah, there you go. Okay. No, because a rocker arm costs about $10 and it's trivial to replace.
Yeah, he would have fixed that.
Yeah, okay, well, then that must not
This was something that was very expensive to repair, right?
Yeah, he said the only way around it would be to get a new engine.
Yeah, connecting rod.
And so he said, like, it's going to put a hole through itself. And so I've been driving this car around all the time, you know, and I've gone, like, on the turnpike and everything.
Oh,
you fool.
Yeah, see, that's what I wonder. Am I being a foolish, naive, you know, is this another bad decision made in my youth?
All of those things. In fact, you may be a moron. No, this is going to really be this is going to be quite an exciting thing when it happens.
Okay, that's what
and
I was
the truth
wondering
is,
about.
I don't think you want to miss it.
Yeah.
I have almost experienced this.
Uh-huh.
I didn't throw a rod, but I, you should pardon the expression, sucked a valve.
Wow.
And the same thing happens. The engine immediately stops.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, immediately, just about as immediately as anything can happen. 1 second, the engine's going, and then, boom, it stops. And it makes a lot of noises.
Yeah.
And it's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
But you probably won't get hurt unless, of course, you happen to be just pulling away from that semi that's coming down the highway and you're just crossing in front of it.
Or you're cutting off a semi.
Yeah.
Right.
Then you sure you could get hurt.
Right.
But, I mean, that could happen by running out of gas. I mean, that could happen with all kinds of things.
That would be an indirect result of the engine failing.
Exactly. But not as a direct result of the engine failing are you going to die.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, just as my brother enjoyed sucking his valve, I think.
Well, you know, this is this reminds me of my father-in-law's theory of life and death.
Which father-in-law? One, two, three?
Father-in-law number three.
Oh.
Father-in-law number three says, I mean, people have been telling him for like maybe 50, 60 years that he's overweight. And his theory is it's better to be overweight. He said, because us big guys, we don't linger. We get a heart attack and boom.
Or a cerebral hemorrage or something like that.
Whatever. He said, we're gone in a second. Just like throwing a rod.
Oh, yeah, that's the way you want to go.
He said other people, they do the jogging and they watch their diets. He said, and pretty soon they're lying in the hospital dying of nothing.
Yeah.
And they linger, and they linger.
Well, of course,
and
you must linger by definition because there's nothing wrong with you.
So you get all these horrible diseases sooner or later, and all your family has to worry about you, come to visit you in the hospital. He says, when I go, but they're not even going to know it. Bingo. Gone.
I can see the bumper sticking out. Eat heavy. Don't live long enough to get sick.
don't live long enough to get a horrible disease. And he's right. He's a brilliant man, that father-in-law number three.
Parker, don't linger. Go out and drive this thing at 80.
All right. <Yeah. laughs>
Let us know what it sounds like. See you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
No, 65. 65 is the speed limit in Northampton.
Oh, right.
Route 2.
Well, he can drive 80 for a few seconds.
Yeah.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Cindy in San Diego.
Hi, Cindy in San Diego.
Cindy San Diego.
It's actually Cynthia, but that just seems a bit much. So.
Cynthia is actually a beautiful name.
Do you think so?
Is a nice name. What does Cynthia mean? Does it have a meaning?
It actually means moon goddess.
What? I thought Celine was the moon goddess.
No. Celine was that waitress that you used to hold at that restaurant we went to all the time. Oh, you remember?
I shouldn't have brought that up.
No. Yeah. You said she was a goddess.
I did. I know.
Now, Cynthia is so much prettier than Cindy.
Okay, I'm changing it.
There you go.
Yeah, Cynthia.
This is Cynthia from San Diego.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hello. A snob, you must be. I'm sorry. So, Cynthia, what's up?
Okay. Well, I'm an artist. I'm a graphic designer.
Oh.
I work very late at night usually when I'm painting, and I was up late night working one evening, and suddenly the light bulb went off in my head that said, oh, that's right, I have to put oil in my car. I have a 535i, an 88 535i.
Oh, art's been very, very good to Cynthia.
Yes, indeed.
And I love the car.
Yeah, I bet.
It's a great car.
So the light bulb goes off. It's the middle of the night. You're painting away, and you say, I got to put oil
in
the Bimmer.
Right. So I had gone earlier to the store and purchased my monthly supply of Maalox. And a quart of Castrol 2050.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, don't tell me you put the Maalox in the engine.
I had poured about a quarter of it in there, and I looked at the thing, and I went, oh, my God, it's Maalox.
You really did put the Maalox in the engine.
Gee, now this has interesting possible consequences.
I'm thinking that I have created the miracle cure for engines.
You may have.
And this could last. I mean, this engine can just go on forever. I mean,
well, you may have discovered the secret ingredient in STP.
Exactly.
How would
exactly.
we know?
Exactly.
Just tell me, you didn't also go upstairs and take a swig of the Castrol?
No.
No.
I then add the quart of motor oil.
Oh, you shouldn't have done that.
Oh, sure, why not?
The more
you didn't add very much Maalox. You put a couple of spoonsful in, right?
Oh, I put about maybe a quarter cup.
A quarter of a cup?
Quarter of a cup.
Yeah, forget it.
So I put more oil in it, and then I think I put too much oil in it because the dipstick is reading far over
Well, if it's reading so far over.
I was just hoping that I could drive it until it used up all that oil.
Well, better than that, I think. I mean, because we don't know what the Maalox is going to do, I think you might want to change it for two reasons. You know, it's not good to have the thing overfilled because the oil will foam, and that's potentially more detrimental than the Maalox.
But the Maalox may also help it to foam.
Yeah.
And that would be not so good.
Well, when I've checked the dipstick and, you know, like taken off the thing for the oil,
yeah.
I don't see any evidence of
Maalox. Oh, no, it consumed that Maalox.
It did.
Oh, yeah, that Maalox is gone.
I'm not in terrible
trouble. No, the chalk just got the chalk
got, just got coated on all the silver.
Oh, no, yeah.
I swear, this car is going to go for 500,000 miles.
Well, I'll tell you, it would be interesting. Now, obviously, this thing uses some oil. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been.
Just a little tiny bit. You know, the 535 is very sensitive, and if it's like down a teaspoonful of any fluid, a light comes on. It's
yeah.
a check warning. It's got computers all over.
I mean, how often do you have to add a quart of oil?
Oh, maybe every 1,000 miles.
Well, I just as a matter of safety, I would have the oil and filter changed.
Okay.
But it'll be interesting to see if your oil consumption changes dramatically one way or the other due to this 1 week or so of the Maalox treatment. And I'm telling you, you may have discovered something.
I may have solved my oil consumption
or
problem.
You may have wrecked the engine.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going with number two.
Yeah. And then I'm talking very expensive.
Yeah, no,
Maalox.
I rather doubt you did any damage to the engine.
Nah.
You'd be amazed.
It runs just fine.
You'd be amazed what happens to engines that nobody ever tells us.
Yeah, no, they're fine. It's fine.
See you, Cynthia.
Bye-bye.
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 Thanks. Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David Gibraltar Green. Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parotti, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Baltimore Apple Corps Petty Four Roasted Boar Lobster Thermidor Fat Galore Food Tour, is John Bugsy Lawler.
In the studio with us as we speak.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our Ralph Cramden impersonator from the Dubai office is Mohammed Ahamada Ahamada. Our disciplinarian this week is Don Fuller Round. Our anger management counselor is Tara. Oh no. Our Russian chauffeur. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne Diaz, and a brother in the military, Major Payne Diaz, and they have a dog, Toto Payne Diaz, and a distant cousin in Mexico City, Jaime Royal Payne Diaz, and a recently discovered uncle from Warsaw, Zbigniew Payne Diaz. And the head of our Working Mother Support Group, of course, is Erasmus B. Dragon, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the academics without summer houses moping through Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers.
Don't
and remember, drive. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like me.
And we'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 729, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888 Car Junk or by going to the Shameless Commerce Division of our website, cartalk.com. Also, this week at cartalk.com, complete details on how to get rid of your old car without having to sell it.
Does this involve throwing the keys on the front seat, leaving it unlocked, and calling Cousin Munzio's tip line?
Well, actually, no. It's the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program, where you can donate your car and benefit your favorite local public radio station.
Details available all week at cartalk.com. Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Travelocity, offering tools and information to plan travel worldwide. Support available 24/7, so you'll never roam alone. Travelocity.com. and
Pabst Brewing, supporting live music and local artists nationwide, and proud supporter of NPR Music Podcasts at PabstBlueRibbon.com. And
Allstate, now offering accident forgiveness. And this reminder, not to drive like my brother.
Or like my brother.
More information at Allstate.com. Are you in good hands? Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR cafeteria ladies put our egg salad sandwiches on the windowsill to bake whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.